If I was not a Christian and I was to read this book of Revelation, I would certainly tremble within my very boots. And of course, we need to pray that God will use this book and perhaps even these messages in the book of Revelation, whether it's here tonight as we study this book, or later as these are aired on radio and on sermon audio, that souls are warned of the judgment of God upon a wicked world. For joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air each day to bring you the message of the gospel, and I pray that today that you will stay tuned, that as we go to Revelation chapter 14 and we look at the great victory that is given to the church over Babylon. That Babylon that is fallen, fallen. I pray that today that you'll stay tuned with us. We have an item in song, then the reading of this passage, then we'll get into the ministry from our church here in Cloverdale.
He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labors increase. Who added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiply trials, his multiplied peace. His love has no limit, his grace has no measure. His power has no boundary known unto man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again.
Revelation 14, and we'll read verses 7 through 12. Let's read this section tonight. Saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Father, we plead your nearness and your grace tonight. We pray that your perfect will be done within our hearts, that your word be that work of grace to us, to bless our souls and instruct us in the way in which we should go. O Lord, minister to us, we pray. Give us the Holy Spirit's power in the pulpit and to each hearer, and let your blessing be upon the ministry of thy word now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 1 encourages us to read this book of Revelation, because there is a special blessing that is given to all who read it. And of course, to the Christian, it is a most encouraging book. But to the wicked, it is a book that will bring terror and trouble of heart, because it speaks of their eternal doom. If I was not a Christian and I was to read this book of Revelation, I would certainly tremble within my very boots. And of course, we need to pray that God will use this book and perhaps even these messages in the book of Revelation, whether it's here tonight as we study this book, or later as these are aired on radio and on sermon audio, that souls are warned of the judgment of God upon a wicked world. Now, this 14th chapter of Revelation reveals what keeps Christians going, what keeps us going on and on, even in the face of trials, hatred of men, persecutions, even hell's fury and the devil's opposition. There is something in the heart of the born-again Christian that keeps him or her going. And as you look at verse 12, you will see here a reference to, here is the patience of the saints. And the word patience there means endurance, the persistence, the need to keep on keeping on in the Christian life. Now, that, of course, is a biblical doctrine. And the Bible teaches it from Genesis right through the whole book of the Bible. And it's a firm doctrine that when you are in Christ, saved, redeemed by the blood, indwelt by the Spirit, you will never, ever be condemned. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What a great security and reassurance that brings to our hearts. I would hate to be under a ministry that preaches saved today, lost tomorrow. I remember years ago when I was looking into the Seventh-day Adventists, and I discovered that they put a lot of emphasis on the law, but they also had this doctrine that you could lose your soul. And by the way, they teach that if you worship on Sunday, the first day of the week, then you have received the mark of the beast. And we might get that to that a little later. Now, Christians are called to be loyal to the Lord. To the church at Smyrna, the Lord said, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall come and cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And so, that's the challenge. that is given to the Christian here in the book of Revelation. It's like the words of the Lord Jesus, "Fear not him that can destroy the body only, but fear him that destroys body and soul." But of course, we are promised a crown of life as we keep on serving the Lord. And so this is not just a calculation of what am I going to get out of Christianity? What immediate rewards will I receive because I am a disciple of the Lord Jesus? But rather, this is the willingness to endure, persevere in the face of even great hardship, where Jesus warned that we must take up his cross and follow him, that as they hated me, they will hate you, and they will think they are doing God's service when they cast you into prison and even kill you, that they will think that they are serving God. Now tonight we're going to look at the marks of the believers, the saints, who persevere, who keep on keeping on. And I'm going to overlap with the message of last Sunday and go back into verse 7. Here's the anchor of our perseverance in verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to him." If you're doing that tonight, you will persevere. If you're giving glory to God, to worship him and to walk with him, that is your perseverance. And that's the root of it. You are resolved that you are going to put up with almost anything, but you want and you must give the glory unto God. Now, there is great discussion amongst commentators and Bible students about what this glory is. What is God's glory? When you talk about God being glorious and that we have beheld in his glory, or that we want to give God the glory, what is the basis of that? Well, understand that in the Hebrew and carrying over into the New Testament, the word glory means weight. That's simply what it means. Weight. Put God and his plan and purpose on the scales, and he outweighs everything else. You think that it's worthy to serve this world and all its glitter? Well, if you're not serving God, you have missed the real wonder of the right purpose in life. Now, he is worthy, or weighty, if you want to use that word. He's worthy because, as we find here in verse 7, he's the creator. And he has made heaven and earth. That's God's worth. He's the one who made us. Then as sovereign, you will see there in verse 7, for the hour of his judgment has come. Fear God, give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains and waters. He is also sovereign. Did I say that already? He's sovereign. And you know, we don't get it. We just don't get it. When we talk about God having absolute control, it means that every creature in the universe should bow to the will and to the plan and purpose of God. Over in chapter 17. And I have to let you know that chapter 17 defines a lot of things for us. I find Revelation 17 a bit like the glossary of the Bible. And if you're stuck to understand certain words and terms and doctrines, you will find them in Revelation 17. Now, let me pause a moment and ask you, why do you think that would be? Why do you think that we're introduced to things in the earlier part of the book And then we have to wait until chapter 17 to get the full view, the full information about it. That's the way the book of Revelation is written. You remember we talked about layer upon layer. You have the same events, the same history recorded with small detail. And then the next section of the book, more detail. And it always leads up to the return of Christ to the eternal state. And then you go to the next section of the book of Revelation and you find that it covers the same events and it gives even greater detail. And so as we keep progressing through this book of Revelation, it's like starting in kindergarten and ending up in grade 12. You can't teach a kindergartner all the laws of mathematics. Not even sure you can teach a grade 12 all the laws of mathematics. But you get my idea. You don't teach a kindergarten calculus. You can't do it. You have to start with the small details, introduce various concepts. And here we have it right in the book of Revelation. And when you get to chapter 17, you'll notice God's sovereignty is so wonderfully laid out for us. And if you turn there and read verse 14, chapter 17, verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Now, that's why we worship him. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. And so no matter what else comes at us, no matter what voice of the world claims our loyalty, claims our affection, we worship God alone. And because of God's power in creation, in his sovereignty over all things, and then also his mercy, he's the one who sent his Son. What has the world ever done for us? What has Satan ever done for us? What has the false religions ever offered to men but works, works, works? But the Lord Jesus went to the cross as our Redeemer. And so for all these reasons, he's worthy. You put all that in the balances and nothing else compares. So why do we worship God alone? Why does he receive all of our loyalty? Because he is worthy. And of course, that's the song you'll find in heaven. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast done all of these things. Now we move to verse 8 and we see persevering saints rejoice in the fall of Babylon. Verse 8 in chapter 14. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. That great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And later on, when you get into chapter 17, 18, 19, you will find that the saints are singing their hallelujahs at the fall of Babylon. Now, what do we know about this system or this city that is called Babylon? Well, it's not a literal city because the ancient Babylon, the Babylon that the Israelites were taken off to in captivity, where you have Nebuchadnezzar and all the other great leaders who were the leaders of Babylon, that city is gone. By the first century, it was no longer in existence. It was wiped off the map. It's gone. And so when we read here, what was written about AD 90-something to first-century Christians, when God wrote or gave John this revelation, when he referred to Babylon, it had to be some city or some power that was parallel with that ancient Babylon. And to cut to the chase, that would be Rome, the city, the empire of Rome, based right there in the city of Rome. That is Rome on the seven hills. We met with that in chapter 13 when we saw the beast rising out of the sea and with those seven horns. And we learned again in chapter 17, cross-referencing to chapter 17, that those horns represent the seven hills they symbolized there. And so the same qualities that were in ancient Babylon, power, cruelty, pride, they all are attributed to the city and the empire of Rome. Now, ancient Rome, and then later papal Rome, who assumed, as we learned a week or two ago, that papal Rome by the 7th century, the 800s, were claiming to have the authority to crown kings or depose kings, to crush them, and took the term of Roman Catholic Church, the universal church, out of which there is no salvation, and if they banished their subjects, they were doomed, not only on earth banished, but they were doomed to a lost eternity. Now, coming back to Revelation 14:8, you'll notice that this Babylon is referred to as a she, the pronoun she in the middle of verse 8. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. She is depicted here as an unfaithful woman. And again, chapter 17 calls her the whore of Babylon, of mystery Babylon. Let's just go there and read these verses, lest I go too quickly here. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Now remember, waters are people. Waters are the nations. And so this woman, this powerful, all-controlling woman, is seeking to dominate the nations with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. And the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's the same language we were introduced to in chapter 14. You get more detail about it in chapter 17. And down in verse 5, and for some reason the translators have put this into capital letters, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And as you read through the book of Revelation, chapter 14 onward, there's a lot of emphasis upon the fall of Babylon, that idolatrous, proud, wicked, cruel system that is persecuting the church and causing the blood of the martyrs. And the more you study these latter chapters, you learn of the fall of this wicked system. Now, you may ask me, just how much of this did these early Christians know in the first century when God wrote this to John? The answer may be, not a whole lot, except by the 90s, they had already lived through the persecution of Rome, of Nero, and then into 100 Diocletian, and various waves of persecution that drove the Christians into the catacombs. And there were many laying down their lives loyally who would not worship the emperor. They were loyal to Christ. And Diocletian in particular, he commanded that Christianity was to be wiped out. Praise God, they couldn't do it. And the blood of the martyrs became the seed of the church. And Christians multiplied nation upon nation, not just in Rome. Thank you for joining with us here on Let the Bible Speak. This is the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church. I hope that today that you have learned about the fall of Babylon, that world system, religious, satanic, political, and the very spirit of a rebellious world. If you're living for this world, you must realize that you're going to lose. This world is headed for destruction. This world is under the dominion of Satan, and he shall one day be cast out, and all the wicked angels and all who serve him will be cast into that lake of fire. For this the Lord Jesus is coming again, and he shall destroy the wicked with the brightness of his coming. And so we take delight in preaching this everlasting gospel, God's good news to sinners, that there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, and that you can be saved. You can be brought out of that darkness into the wonderful and marvelous light of the gospel. And today we invite you to be saved. If I can be of personal help, be in touch. Our closing announcements are coming up. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I want to thank you for joining with us as we've brought the message of God's Word today from Revelation chapter 14. What's on here at the Free Presbyterian Church? Well, these Sundays leading up to Easter, I'll be preaching a series on the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. These are the utterances of Christ in his agony as he redeemed his people while upon that cruel cross. It is a series that gets to the very heart of the gospel. It focuses upon the man of Calvary in his death. And I hope that you can join with us here at our church, at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our Sunday morning services are at 10:30. Also, we have our evening service when I'm continuing on in the book of Revelation. And these weeks I'm dealing with the closing chapters, the wonderful sights and sounds of heaven. Join us here for our Sunday services at the Free Presbyterian Church, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Also, you can join us on our webcast. If you're unable to join in person, you can go to your computer and log in through cloverdalefpc.ca. Just hit the red button when it turns live now, and you'll be right into our services here at the Free Presbyterian Church. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. I do thank you for joining with us. Do go to the website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, for all the information concerning our church and radio ministry.